Hi, this is Larry London, and I welcome you to a very special Border Crossings. It's special for many reasons, one of which is that I'm talking today to one of my longtime favorites, a guy who's been in the game for quite a number of years, has been at number one on the charts a number of times, has collaborated with all kinds of artists, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, you name it. He's worked with everybody in the business, produced music for Michael Jackson, and won his share of awards and accolades, and he's done a lot for humanity as well. So we'd like to welcome Akon to Border Crossings today. Great to have you.
Man. No, it's a pleasure, man.
It's an honor to have you on.
Thank you.
And I know that you're known as Akon, but that's not your full name. And I'm looking and saying, I couldn't get through the full name.
I got to hear you say it.
All right, I'll say it. Aluane, Damala, Buga, Time, Peru, Naka, Lululu, Badara, Akon, Theum.
Wow, you actually pretty good. It's just very American
close.
Pronounced, but you got it.
Wow, and you're originally from Senegal. You grew up in Senegal.
Yeah, in Senegal, West Africa.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
so
man.
You moved to the U.S. when you were about 6 or 7, something like that?
Yeah, I could never really remember the exact age, but I know it was between 7 and 12 for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you have done so many different things in your career, and it's hard to keep up with everything you've done. I mean, looking at your catalog of songs, I Want to Love You with Snoop Dogg, Smack That, Eminem, they were both number one and number two on Billboard at the same time. And of course, as I say, your debut single was Locked Up with Styles P, did very, very well. And all of that was in 2004, but it wasn't an easy road to success for you. You had gone through a difficult time in the late 90s.
Yeah, it was a very interesting time for me because, interestingly enough, as I'm thinking I'm going through all this turmoil and my life is in a very dark place, I'm not realizing that my life is being shaped up for me to have that kind of content to create that would eventually change my life. You know, the late 90s was a very challenging moment for me because that was when it was a turning point of me deciding what it is that I wanted to do. At that moment in time, my mind was in a very, I would say, ignorant state because I just wanted to be filthy rich and I didn't care how I got there.
Well, you made it. You got there.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like, okay, first come, first serve as far as opportunity. But then it was also that state of mind of, you know, all means necessary. And I think that's where it got kind of dangerous because it found me in the streets just trying to figure out the quickest dollar to make. And that's what landed me in jail. Ultimately, when I got in jail, I already had this habit of writing up all the things that I've, you know, that I was experiencing. And fortunately, when I got locked up, that habit followed me in jail. And that's how the song Locked Up even came about. When I got locked up, I ended up writing about it. And that ended up becoming the song that changed my life.
And you know, took that and turned it into a brand, you
yeah.
know, convicted.
Yep.
And I guess, you know, you had said that you didn't steal the car that you were accused of stealing. So it was a, you know, total misunderstanding. You're another one of the innocent folks who ended up having to go to jail.
Interestingly enough, I was a car thief at the time, but yes, you're right. The car
but
that
not
I actually
the car
got caught
that
into.
They were talking about.
Right? Not the car that I was charged for.
That's funny. Akon is talking with us. Where's home today? Where are you at?
Well, my main base is in Atlanta. When I look at my international base, it's in Senegal and West Africa still.
Mm-hmm. And you go back to Africa a lot. You were just back in Africa not too long ago.
Yeah.
And you've released Akon's Beautiful Day, which is a new song. And so tell me about the new song and what was the motivation or the influence for the song?
Yeah, so, you know, I kind of took a small hiatus from music business. The last record that I released officially, album, was in 2008, which was my Freedom album. Shortly coming after that, I got so many opportunities to go back to Africa from a philanthropic perspective and just do more work there because I had a lot more, you know, knowledge at the time, a lot more resources. I was in a position now to really make some major changes in the continent. And ultimately, time just flew by so fast. But by the time I got back, music just wasn't as motivating as I would have wanted it to be. So I found myself in a position where, okay, I saw an opportunity there because even with the music as it went, I just felt like the vibrations were just so low. You know, everything was about, you know, sex, money, killing. And then it also got to the point where these things were actually happening in real life. I watched so many rappers dying every week, and all of it came from rap battles and music and people just trying to, express what they were actually going through to prove that they're living the life that they were saying on records. And the energy was just very, very negative. So I wanted to kind of bring back music that made you smile again, that made you happy, that felt good, that actually you would go back and, kind of relive your memories through. You know what I mean? I feel like that was missing.
And what did Akon listen to growing up? What was it that got you into music that you decided this is what I want to do?
Interesting enough, when I was younger, music wasn't even a thought in my mind as a career. That was the last thing on my mind, actually.
Really?
Yeah, my dad was a jazz musician, so I think the idea of me being with my dad all the time when he went to the studio, and that kind of gave me the love for the idea of music. But it wasn't something that I looked at as a career at that time, because neither one of my parents, my dad kind of wanted me to be in the business. That's why he used to always take me with him to all the shows and all the studio sessions. But my mom never definitely didn't want me to be in the music business, because she saw that it wasn't that much money in it. And my dad did jazz. And jazz is probably the lowest paying genre. So if you do jazz, it's only for passion, really, So she's like, it's
Yes.
not really a career path. But I think at that time, she didn't calculate that our generation would actually learn the business and understand how to make money from it. And that's what eventually happened. Yeah.
What were you going to do? What were you thinking? Or what did mom want you to do?
She wanted me to actually just, be a lawyer, a doctor, the
Of
typical stuff
course,
at that
doctor,
time.
lawyer.
Yeah, you got to go to school and get your college degree and
Sounds
the
like you had a Jewish
old-fashioned way,
mother. That's
you know? Yeah.
Akon is our guest here on Border Crossings, and Akon's Beautiful Day, which is now out, that it's an anthem for the world. That's what it's called, a global anthem for the world.
Oh man, that's what's up. That's actually a great honor to hear that, because ultimately, I did want this song to touch everyone in a very positive way. So, and I think especially with what's happening today, I think sometimes we often forget the beautiful things around us, the current things that we should be thankful for. We're always thinking about what we want and what we should have. And sometimes the best things that you have in life is the ones, things that you need to be appreciative of. So if you appreciate the things around you and just wake up knowing that you're already blessed, it's going to be a beautiful day every day, you know?
Well, this country has never been this divided. I mean,
Right.
we are having a hard time, with the way things are going, politics, and there's wars going on. It's just a very difficult time around the world.
Yeah, man.
And does it make you want to go back home to Africa?
Well, that's where I spent a lot of time in Africa.
Oh, okay.
Believe it or not, because back home it was just a little bit different. You got less fortunate people there, but they appreciate everything around them. And that's what made the environment so positive, and it actually made it less you could say challenging when you come when you know when you speak about certain things. Because me living the life that I did live and then going back to the most simplest form of life and seeing how much happiness was in that simple, just environment, it made me say, wow, we take so much for granted in America. You know what I mean? We really
Yes.
do. Like,
Yes.
we
And
got it better than so many others, but yet we're still not satisfied.
that's true. And, many Americans don't travel out of the U.S., so they don't know that
Right.
there's
They
another
have no
world out
idea.
there.
That's so true.
Yeah. I've been to South Africa. I was in Joburg and then Cape Town. But, and I've also been to Asia where I lived in different places around the world. So having a chance to live in those other places, those other cultures and countries, made me
Yeah,
a better person, made me certainly more
man, it
worldly.
does. It really, really does. And I think I would encourage more Americans to travel. I think they're doing it now because of internet. People are seeing different things, and environments are, very, they're being very inquisitive now to see, wow, there is another, there's more outside of America. And I think the ones that are traveling are opening up their minds more.
Who does Akon like on the radio right now? Who are you listening to?
Honestly, I was like, whenever I'm in music mode, I stay away from it, because I don't ever want to
Huh?
be, because I don't want to be influenced by what's out there, because I'm a huge fan of music myself. So I can already see the moment I get on the radio, I'm gonna start sounding like everything on the radio.
No, you have your own sound and
So
your own style, and it's obviously
yeah.
been very, very, profitable for you. You've worked with 23 different artists on songs on the charts. You probably work with many more than that, totally, but 23 of the songs you worked and collaborated with have gone on the Billboard charts. And
Yeah,
so,
it's huge.
and you're a great producer as well, from what I understand. What did you do with Michael Jackson?
Yeah, well, Mike, man, that was probably the most amazing experience of my whole career. I think it was the moment when I worked with Mike that I felt like I've achieved everything I wanted to achieve in the music business. Because when I was locked up, I had made this 10-year goal of what I wanted to achieve. And Michael Jackson was at the top of my list because I knew that was going to probably be the hardest thing to get to. And funny enough, within 5 years of that 10-year goal, I was able to achieve that. So it was like, whoa, where do I go from here? Like, my goals are all achieved at this point. You know what I mean? But working with Mike was probably the most impactful moment because I realized he was probably the biggest artist I've ever worked with, but he's also the easiest artist I've ever worked with. Like he was, I understood why he was so big at that moment because he had no ego, such a beautiful soul, and he just wanted to make the world a better place from a step point of just kind of just, you know, extending your whatever your God's gift was and expanding that and go, you know, harnessing that to showcase that to the world. So his energy and the way he was perceived and looked at before he passed, I was to me it was very depressing because I just wish the world was able to meet the Mike that I was able to spend time with.
And the world did meet Michael, but they didn't realize that the Michael you saw on television and you saw performing was the real
Right.
Michael. Was that was who he was. He was, you know, he wasn't full of himself, ever.
Far from it. Yeah, he was probably the most selfless person I've ever met. Like he never thought about himself. He was always thinking about others, you know. And to me, that was very interesting to really understand, you know.
What's the most misunderstood thing about Michael Jackson that you learned during your experience with him?
I think it was really more so of the tabloids of how he was being perceived. And a lot of it, I start to realize how much of an agenda it was because he had so much power in the music business and had a hold on so many things that the corporate world wanted to buy or be a part of, and he just wouldn't allow it. And I think a lot of it was to pressure him to relinquish some of that power or relinquish some of those assets so that way it could be a balance of, you can say, power in the music industry because he owned so much of it. He was such a huge businessman. You know what I mean? So it was really him against the corporate. And I saw it with my own eyes on how he would push back on certain deals and certain things like that. And I just felt like it was definitely a conspiracy in so many different ways. I just can't explain how, though.
Well, you have written and worked with, I mean, Usher, TLC, as I mentioned, the list goes on, Lionel Richie, and it just goes on and on and on. So I want to ask you, because you've worked with so many artists, I usually I ask singer-songwriters to tell me three of their wish list collaborators, either dead or alive. Three people you'd like to work with, dead or alive, wish you could work with.
Ooh, wish I could work with. One is Bob Marley. I would have loved to work with Bob Marley, 100,000%. I would have loved to work with Sam Cooke.
Oh, yes.
Oh my goodness, I think that record would have been phenomenal. And also, I would have loved to work with Sade. I think me and Sade
Smooth
would
operator.
yeah, I would no man, that would be incredible, like for sure.
Now, you have also done a lot to help your homeland. In fact, you started a project called Akon Lighting Africa. And you provide electricity to many different, you know, states, countries throughout Africa, the continent. I mean, how does that? That's a major undertaking. You're like the electric company of Africa.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it turned into. You know, we ended up being a huge, huge facilitator for electricity from a renewable perspective. We had we it all started as a philanthropic, you know, movement where we were supplying solar panels to all the villages, and then it went from a philanthropic perspective to where we started partnering with the government and doing solar mini grids for all the villages surrounding those countries. And then before you know it, we just expanded into 13 countries. So we were like one of the, I mean, we were a large utility scale, like size solar providers in Africa. I mean, we were like probably the fastest renewable energy company that grew in the last 10 years and the biggest in Africa that was owned by, you know, black and brown people. It was amazing. You know,
Are you
yeah.
putting out a new album? Is that part of the plan? Is that, you know, with this,
Yes.
the new song, you
Yeah,
know,
the
Akon's
new song.
Beautiful Day? Because you had an album called Stadium that didn't get released.
Yeah, we never released the album Stadium.
Oh, so there's a whole bunch of songs that are just sitting on the shelf.
But it's gonna get released now. I think at the time when I had the concept of Stadium, the platforms weren't set up. It wasn't equipped to release that kind of album because that album was four albums in one album. So you had an urban album, you had a pop album, you had a dance album, and then you had an R&B international album. So it was one of those albums where you had like four different parts that highlighted four different genres that I actually was, active in at the time, but it the system just didn't set it wasn't set up to release it. But now it's a little bit different because the digital systems, you have so many different platforms that service so many different genres. So now I can release the album in each perspective genres without them actually competing with each other. So that's something that we're definitely going to bring back to the forefront.
And you are about to launch the Superfan World Tour.
Yes.
And I see where you're going to spend the holidays in Asia.
Yeah, we're going to be in Asia in the holidays, man. The first Superfan tour was so successful in America that we had to expand it to Europe. And then once we went to Europe, that one got even bigger. And then now he's like, Asia's calling for it. So we're going to do Asia, and then we're going to do Africa and the Middle East after it. And then we're going to do another official world tour. So the Superfan tour is really more smaller venues, but we never put up the tickets for sale until all the super fans was able to actually be alerted, because the super fans were the ones that actually promoted it, and they were actually the ones that picked up the tickets first, because they bought the tickets before we even realized it, before we even got to the point of even marketing and promoting it. You know what I mean?
Now, so I mean, super fans is a name in and of itself, but does Akon's fans have a name? Is there something you refer to them as? Because I know there's the army with BTS, and there's many different,
So convicts.
convicts. Oh, well, there you go.
There it
It's
is.
perfect. It fits into everything. And I know
Absolutely.
you created a charity foundation called Confidence, the Confidence Foundation.
Yeah, so the Confidence Foundation is the first official, you could say, charitable foundation that was attached to me back starting in 2000. I founded in 2004, right after lockdown. And that one was based first in Africa, where we were refurbishing all the schools that was in those villages to create a better learning environment for the kids there. And then that's when all of that kind of spilled into all the bigger foundational and philanthropic initiatives that I was attached to.
And that is wonderful. God bless you. And thank you for
Thank you.
being the kind of guy you are to use
Thank
your platform for a great reason and donate all this money to all the kids who needed help. You were there to help them. And you have some other projects in the works from what I read. And I read it a few years ago. I haven't heard much since. Maybe it's just gossip. But you're going to start your own city and you're going to actually have Akon money currency?
Yeah, none of that is actually gossip. All of it is still in the works.
Wow.
It's none of it is gossip. The Akon
What are
City
you
is
going to call your
actually
city? Wakanda's taken. So, what are you going to call
right.
your city?
Yeah. Well, it's actually Akon City. And funny enough, Akon City was already a concept before Wakanda actually started. It just so happened that when the movie Wakanda came out, it actually boosted and actually put light on what I was actually doing in Africa. Because of it's a city, of course, it takes time. It's already a year and a half sometime to build one house, so let alone a city. And I think the concept of the city, and when you're a celebrity, people think things move a lot faster than they expect it to move. But reality kicks in. It's like, hold on, guys, this is not something that's going to be done in 48 hours. You got to give it some time to build out. But yeah, we've been it's an ongoing process, progress as well as we're moving forward. And then I'm looking to hopefully host guys very, very soon to kind of give everybody more updates on it.
And how about the currency? Is that still in the works?
Yeah, the currency has always been caught up in the state between actual money and crypto. And as you know, crypto has been one of the biggest complex, like probably the most complicated situations to kind of move forward because of all the regulations attached and the world kind of moving forward into new age. So that's been kind of tied up in the regulation aspect of it. But soon we'll be untangled and we'll be able to announce it officially.
So your photo be on a $1,000 bill or what?
Well, you know how it is. We'll see. I haven't figured out the design just yet, but right now my face is actually on the coin
Well, there
of
you go.
Akon.
That's
Yeah.
perfect. It should be. You create the
You
city, you're funding the coins,
know
it
what I'm
should be that way.
saying?
He's Akon, and I'm Larry, and this is Border Crossings on VOA TV. And we're talking with the legend, the icon, the superstar. It's been a while since you've been on the charts. I mean, have you missed it? You're on tour and you probably never stop touring. Do you miss the fanfare of when your song's on the radio and you're number one? You could walk around and say, I'm number one.
Well, not really, because I was never really the one that like clinged to the accolades per se, or watched the numbers of where I'm at on the charts and everything. But the part that I did miss a lot was the fans. That was definitely in the concerts. Like the shows was always what I looked forward to. And I think that was one of the motivations of me coming up with this new album to be released as well, too, because I kind of wanted to get back in the mix. That is one thing that I can say I definitely missed for sure.
So the album is going to be called Stadium, or do you have a name in mind for the album?
Yes. So the name that I'm that Beautiful Day is actually attached to is Not Guilty. That's the album.
Not Guilty. Wow. Also, all of this is a thread. It's like the same theme throughout your life. You know, it all goes back to the unfortunate events and
It goes back
the.
to convict music. And ultimately, like I said, me being locked up for most people would have probably would have been a negative thing. But to me, that was the most positive thing that could have happened to me because it changed my life in such a way that I now build everything around that experience and not wanting to be that in that position ever again. So convict music is almost a reminder of where I don't want to be, but it was also the, you could say, the moment in time in which I realized how many people not only were in that situation, but how many people I can actually save from being there.
Wow. I mean, and you mentioned a little while ago about concerts and touring being one of your favorite parts of this business. Where's your favorite place to play or favorite places that you like to perform?
Jeez, it's so many now. I know in the beginning it was always like one or two, but now it's like it's so many. Africa still tops the chart for me, and in
You're a
Brazil
homeboy.
goes
Of
hand
course,
in hand.
they love you. I'm sure there.
Yeah, man, between Africa, Brazil, and I would probably say the next major market would probably be Lebanon in the Middle East.
Wow.
Yes, oh my goodness, it's so
Oh
crazy
my
now.
God. And I can't imagine the feeling that you must have when you're on stage in a country that doesn't speak English, but
Right.
the audience knows all the words to your songs.
Every single word, man. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Must be a great feeling. Where were you when you first hit number one? What were you doing? Do you remember that time in your life?
I don't even remember being on the chart. Like, I was so crazy. Like, I was working and moving so fast around that time. People were telling me what was happening. I wasn't, because I was never the kind to really, pick up a Billboard magazine and look where I'll stake. I think those things are just stressful. I think it creates a layer of stress that you don't need. And I always felt like whatever in life happens is meant to be. So I don't really challenge those things. And I knew also how political the business is. So sometimes I would also question the award shows, and I would question the charts. I would question all of that. Like, okay, is this really deserving of it, or is this something that the label put together? So I never really looked at it as, you know what I mean? I always judge my success by the reaction of my audience around the world. That's how I knew if I was doing it big or if a lot of this was all fluff.
Well,
You know what I
you've
mean?
done so much in so many places. If somebody came to you one day and said, Akon, I'm sorry, you can't do it all. You got to pick one thing, philanthropy, business, songwriting, recording, running a record label, all the things you do, the lighting of Africa, what would you pick?
I would probably pick, honestly, I would probably pick creating a marketing company.
So
And the
that's your
reason
forte.
why,
That's what you like to do.
yes, and the reason why is because as a marketing company, I can do all those things.
That's true. That's very, very true. You were mentioning about, the world and you didn't catch up with Billboard and all that stuff like that. Nowadays, today's world is different than it was back in 2004. Today's world, you got social media and you got a lot of haters, and you got a lot of negativity, and everybody's got a
Oh my
comment as
goodness.
long as they can hide behind their little alias.
Absolutely. They all hiding behind emojis
It's a difficult
and
business. And
avatars.
nowadays, it's about streams. It's no
Yes.
longer about album sales because albums are harder to sell now than ever.
Yeah.
And so, it's all about streaming. And so, your song, I'm sure, is available on Yahoo, Amazon,
Yeah,
iTunes,
it's
everywhere.
available everywhere, man. Everywhere where there's music, you can be able to pick it up. So definitely add it to your playlist for sure.
So, Akon's Beautiful Day, tell me what the song's about. Where did you write that?
Yeah, so that, and it's, what's interesting is a lot of people have no idea. Like, a lot of these songs that I'm doing and about to do are all songs that's been attached to my catalog for so long. Like, this is an old demo that I kind of brought up and refurbished and kind of brought up today. I was so shocked when I got on TikTok a few years back and the song was so viral by a kid that kind of remade it. You know what I mean? And it was one of those songs that got leaked on the internet. I had over 150 songs that was leaked on the internet of demos that I did. And some of those demos actually made it big, but it was never released. And that song was no, it was like, it was one of the demos that I did back then. You know what I mean? So to
Hmm.
see him, to
Yes.
see that, I feel like it was necessary. And then the fact that he did it, and a lot of people don't realize that at the time he was a kid when he did it, but he's a grown man now. He's in his 20s. You know what I mean? This was a while ago. You know what I'm
Yes.
saying? So
It's been a minute,
it's
as
been a
they
minute.
say.
You
It's
know what I
been a
mean?
minute.
So yeah. So I think all of it was all destined, and it was at a time where the world actually needed to hear this, and I thought like it was the perfect time to do
The
it. I
world
get
is a
that too.
beautiful place to have you in it.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that, Larry.
No, I appreciate you. And I know that as you go on tour, one of my favorite places to visit, because of the nature of the people, has always been the Philippines. And I see you're going to perform there.
Listen, I love the Philippines. That's like one of my favorite, like, Asian. Listen, Philippines, I love it there. Between Philippines and Thailand, oh my God, the people there, the food there, it's just unbelievable.
And they know how to have fun too. They
Oh, they
love their
definitely
music.
do.
They know how to
They
have
definitely
fun.
do. Yeah.
Before you go, Akon, I wanted to give you a chance to send a message out to the worldwide audience. We're on in 100 countries right now,
Amazing.
and 300 million people tune in every week to the Voice of America. And
Wow.
also, that includes the troops. So the troops are also tuned in.
Oh,
So,
man.
yeah. So, is there anything you'd like to say? Any message you want to
Yeah, I
convey?
definitely want to thank all those troops for their service, man. Believe me, I appreciate those guys in ways they don't know, because just the idea of being an American citizen and see how I'm treated when I travel, and to show my American passport and see the green light and access that I'm given because of that, I just want to thank them for all the fighting and giving us that freedom to be who we want to be when we travel outside of America, because I don't think they even themselves know the impact that they make for American citizens globally. So we definitely need to pay more homage to those, our troops out there. And we actually have to have a lot more, you could say, sustainable programs for their well-being when they come home. Because if the politicians knew how much and how powerful they're made because of the fighting and the sacrifice of our troops, that we should never have a conversation about how our troops are being treated. They should be treated like kings when they come home.
Exactly. They're
So thank you.
heroes. And so, you know.
Definitely. Definitely.
And I agree with you 100%. We're talking to Akon, and before you say goodbye to the audience, did you want to say something to the audience itself, other than the troops? I mean,
Yes.
we're
Oh,
on
yeah,
in
for
Africa right
sure.
now, so people in Africa are listening. If you want to say something in Senegalese, you can certainly do that.
No, absolutely. I definitely want to speak to my Senegalese audience over there. Senegal, Jah Jeff White. I'm going to summon sin support Bumena Mijo. I'm going to get you in the clock. I'm going to make the flip Senegal. I'm going to number book in yep. And I'm going to make the deaf Senegal light representative from a dumb Senegal Sufi life indie. The money and light represent, huh? Jitty Jiff, Jitty Jiff, Jitty Jiff. So I want to thank all my fans globally, for everybody out there, for all the support throughout these years, for keeping me sustainable, keeping me in the minds of the troops, and keeping me in the minds of the people, keeping me in the minds of the spirits, man. You guys are the best, and I appreciate all the support globally, man. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
And
New
we are here
album,
to support
Convicted.
you too.
No, thank you so much.
Of
Thank you so
course.
much, brother. Thank
No,
you so
thank you
much,
for your
Larry.
time. You're such a busy band that I'm glad that we were able to make this work, and have a great time on the tour. It starts very soon. Los Angeles, your
Yes.
first couple of dates at the end of October. Congratulations on all the success, and it is a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show again for the second time. Let's not wait 20 years before
No,
we have you
we're not
back
gonna wait
again.
20 years, Larry. And I'm gonna make sure that you get the video, so that way you're one of the first platforms to have it,
Oh,
just
great.
because you've been down since day one, man. I appreciate
Yes, we're going to do a
that.
worldwide premiere of that video on this very show. So thank you, Akon, for joining us.
Thank you,
So
brother.
much appreciation to you. It's Akon, and the new project is called Akon's Beautiful Day. So please do pick up a copy, stream it, pick it up, buy it, whatever it has to, whatever you have to do, just get a copy.
Absolutely. And look forward, we're about to be announcing Not Guilty, the album, very, very soon. So make sure you pre-save that as well too.
Oh, yes, the album's coming. Any idea, rough time when we can
Well, the
expect
rough
it?
the right now, the preliminary, or you could say the rough time, is January, but the way things are going, we might end up pushing it around early before the holidays. I got a feeling we're gonna probably push the album up. I can feel it coming.
Is there anything left that you haven't done that you still want to do? Seems like you've done just about everything that I could
Oh
ever.
man. Sleep.
Sleep. That's great. Oh, well, thank you, Akon, for being on the show. Really
No, thank
appreciate
you,
it.
Larry. I appreciate you, brother.
Our guest is Akon, and my name is Larry London. You're watching VOA TV. This is Border Crossings.